This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
Some young female celebrities and top fashion models have intentionally turned their hair gray.
And as someone who's been noticeably gray from an early age, it made me wonder what that might mean for how women are looking at aging and beauty. Ann Kramer is the author of Going Gray, How to Embrace Your Authentic Self with Grace and Style. Ann, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, do we know how long women have been coloring their gray hair?
In 1950, about 7% of American women dyed their hair. And then in the 60s, when Clairol introduced living color, it was easy for women in the privacy of their homes with not much money and pretty much a safe product to begin to dye their hair. And I think what happened is that we started going to work in significant numbers at the same time and kind of decided to throw out our, housewife imagery and reinvent ourselves. And hair dye kind of coincided with that exact same moment.
So before hair dye was even available, how would you say that gray hair was perceived? Was it just an expected part of aging?
Oh, absolutely, I think it was. I mean, I think prior to the 50s and, and Clairol introducing this color, the only people who dyed their hair were people in, media, in movies, the kind of Jean Harlow look. And it was tended to be associated with, I think on some level, more loose morals in some capacity. And then that just kind of flipped on a dime. Today I think it's safe to say Clairol says that the percentage of people who dyes their hair is 75% pretty much in all areas of the country. It's not just a kind of coastal or urban-rural phenomenon. All women think it is an essential tool in their lives.
And do we know if that really cuts across different races and cultures as well?
Yes, it does cut across different races and cultures. And in fact, I did not focus my book, obviously, on the larger global culture, but, women in Japan and in India have been using sort of dyeing products for an extremely long period of time.
So before that 1950s period when hair dye was readily available and gray hair was just accepted before that as, something that happens to your hair, once there was that option, was the perception of gray hair different after women were thought of as having a choice of whether to go gray or not?
Well, yes, although I think that it was encouraged and, in fact, even shaped by the marketing campaigns of the people in the beauty industry. If you go back and you kind of YouTube, Google, and look at old ads, there's these wonderful ones of sort of, women packing their bags to go on an exotic trip somewhere because they dyed their hair and their husband suddenly found them, miraculously more attractive. And I think it became deeply ingrained with a kind of sense of sexual identity and sort of prowess. And at the same time, we also became, in the 60s, sort of youth-obsessed. The youth culture, the youth quake, everything that went along with that. And so marketers targeted that holy grail of 18 to 24-year-olds, and there's the belief that if you dye your hair, you will look whatever that kind of golden age might be.
So some young women, including some celebrities, not just Lady Gaga, who's a different color every day, but she has been seen with gray hair, but even a top fashion model has been seen sporting gray hair. What do you think might be behind the fact that some young women are intentionally turning their hair gray now?
I would like to think it speaks to a larger sense of, tolerance and acceptance of the aging process. But what I honestly think is that it is a kind of fashion statement. If everybody has the same sort of color of blonde hair with the same quality of highlights, a differentiating tool can be to have your hair a different color. I've long said that I think gray is a beautiful color, and it's not just one sort of flat thing. There's pearl gray, there's, salt and pepper gray, there's slate gray, there's all sorts of colors. And I think that, on one level, young women dyeing their hair gray speaks to it just as being another color in the portfolio that people can use to express identity. I don't think it's going to be a long-term phenomenon, however.
Although, is it possible that whether the intention is there or not, that seeing young women sporting fashionable gray hair and as part of kind of a hip trend, might that bleed over and make some women who are turning gray naturally maybe a little more open to owning their own color instead of covering it up?
I would hope so. I mean, I really would hope that that would be the case. I think that the trend towards plastic surgery might belie that a little bit. Nothing would make me happier than for women not to feel pressured to kind of conform to external standards of what is beautiful, particularly as our population ages as we are moving forward.
How different would you say the perception is of men with gray hair?
Night and day. Although, you know, hair care is the largest segment of the beauty industry, which is a huge industry in and of its own, and these are all publicly traded companies, so they have to find, you know, market growth in some area, and so men are now very much being targeted by the beauty industry to feel the need to dye their hair as well. If you look at a lot of newscasters on television, a lot of the men do, you know, from Chris Matthews on, do dye their hair. So I think that they're feeling pressure in the same way women probably did, you know, back in the 50s and 60s.
We're talking with Ann Kramer. She's the author of Going Gray, How to Embrace Your Authentic Self with Grace and Style. We are talking about young women choosing to go gray and what that may or may not mean for images of women and aging. If you'd like to join in, you can leave a question or comment on our Facebook page. That's Central Time on Facebook, or call 800-642-1234. Now, Anne, you went through a very public process of letting your hair grow gray as you approached 50. I am actually approaching 50 myself, but I have been gray longer than I can even remember. And it was very interesting for me reading your blogging, kind of day-to-day feelings about it, how much you found yourself feeling about it and thinking about it. What kinds of reactions did you get from friends, family, or even strangers as you made that transition to owning your gray hair?
A lot of people will come up to me and say, oh, you can do that because you have great gray hair, you know, or you can do that because you have blue eyes. And I think that's a sort of security mechanism, a safety mechanism that sort of allows women not to necessarily think that they can do it. I do believe, you know, women of all ethnicities and of all quality of hair and skin tone can be radiantly beautiful with their gray hair. But, in the book, I really wanted to dig deeper and sort of probe our notions about attractiveness and or professional viability. And one of the most interesting things I did, although I've been happily married to the same man now for, you know, approaching 40 years, is I went on Match.com with my hair the color I had previously dyed it, which was a dark brown, and then 6 months later went on with my hair the gray color that it had become, with every other piece of information exactly the same. And in New York, Chicago, and L.A., three times as many men were interested in going out with me with my hair gray as they were with my hair dyed, which flabbergasted me. I had done the experiment thinking I was going to get exactly the opposite results, and I found that deeply heartening, that we don't have to feel that in order to feel attractive in our skins that we need to conform to one narrow kind of sense of beauty.
I have to say, I saw side-by-side pictures of you on your blog with the dark hair and then with the gray hair. You had also cut several inches off when
yes,
you were graying too. And I have to say, hands down, you were rocking the gray hair. I mean, you looked like if Grace Kelly had gotten a chance to age, you looked like Grace Kelly. So.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you, Judith. That's very kind. But it actually just felt better. I mean, I think that there was a kind of lightness of spirit that came along with making that transition. I, you know, literally cut a fair amount off just to get rid of the cruddy old dyed ends. But it was also just a sense of kind of agency and a place in my life and gaining control over how I wanted to interact with the world.
Heidi in Milton is on the line, so let's go there. Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I called in because I'm 58 and a half, and I started getting gray when I was 21, and I did a few things about it, but then after a while I just said, this is crazy, and I just let it go, and it's nearly white, and I'm like everyone's mentor for letting their hair go white or gray, and everyone's like, oh, I wouldn't touch it, I wouldn't do a thing. So it's really interesting. And I find in the arts community, a lot of us don't color it either. So I don't know, it seems like it's a trend that's coming within the Asian community, but I think it's interesting.
Thanks for that call, Heidi. And Anne, what would you say?
I do think it's probably easier for women who work in the arts community to go there. I would also suggest that we should all sort of try and change our language about letting go, which shows the degree to which dyeing our hair has such an iron lock on how we view women and their hair. We have to use the word let go of dyeing. But I also went back to corporate headhunters with my gray hair, trying to see what my reception might be in the corporate community. And they were very discouraging. I do think that there is profound ageism that comes in the professional world that prevents people ranging from Hillary Clinton to, you know, we have all these female senators. Not a single one of them has gray hair. Mm-hmm. And you'd think in a position in our country that would require kind of maturity and experience and kind of gravitas, they would feel comfortable doing that. And even they don't.
Well, so, and you see how much President Obama has grayed in his years in office.
Yes, absolutely. But so I don't think we have many role models in the corporate world, nor do we have them in the political realm. We certainly don't have them in the media. You know, Katie Couric had me on her show once, and she did a stunt where she put on a gray wig, and she looked fantastic. But never in a million years would she, I think, allow herself the permission to do that and feel like she could keep her position in the media.
So what did you learn about yourself in the process of, we won't say letting yourself go gray, but embracing your gray?
One of the interesting things was Betty Friedan wrote a book called The Fountain of Age. And in it, she sort of explored all the different research and data that we have, you know, collected about aging. And what she found stunned me, and I believe this to be true, that the more people sort of acknowledge the biological age that they are, they actually end up living longer. And so I think that there's an ease that comes with looking in the mirror and, you know, every day my hair will change color moving forward, and people are constantly stopping me saying, oh, who highlights it? Well, nobody, nature. And that allows you to be here now. It's a kind of meditative process almost. And I had failed to realize that my, clinging so tenaciously to the schedule of getting my roots dyed was keeping me from being in the moment.
Well, Anne Kramer, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Judith. It was a lot of fun.
Anne Kramer is the author of Going Gray, How to Embrace Your Authentic Self with Grace and Style.
I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.